40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
The 50th Super Bowl of American-style professional football will kick off Sunday in Santa Clara, California, just south of San Francisco. The big game features the Carolina Panthers against the Denver Broncos. At stake is the Vince Lombardi Trophy, named after the late great coach who led the Green Bay Packers to the first two Super Bowl titles in 1967 and 1968. Dan Friedel is covering the Super Bowl for Voice of America's Learning English, and Dan joins us now in the studio. Dan, welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hi, Sonny. Thanks for having me.
Dan, the Super Bowl features two star quarterbacks at different stages of their career. 26-year-old Cam Newton of the Carolina Panthers and 39-year-old Peyton Manning of the Denver Broncos. What do they each have to prove in this game?
Well, Peyton Manning has to prove that he can still play football. It's as simple as that. He's had the most trying season of his career. Manning is a player who's been the standard bearer for the quarterback position for almost the last 20 years. He's set dozens of records in the NFL for things like touchdown passes and yards, and he's been one of the most consistent players in that position of all time and most productive. But he missed some time a few years ago with a serious neck injury that took an entire season for him to come back from. A lot of people thought his career might be over at that point, but Denver took a chance on him, and Denver thought that their team was good enough to make it to the Super Bowl with a primetime quarterback, and they have made it to the Super Bowl twice with Peyton Manning. The first time they made it to the Super Bowl, they played the Seattle Seahawks and lost in a blowout game, and Manning was really disappointed about how that game went. Now, Manning has had a tough season. He's missed a lot of time due to injuries. He had a foot injury, and a young quarterback came in and took his place and did pretty well. Manning came back at the end of the season and has done surprisingly well in the playoffs, helping the Broncos beat the New England Patriots to get into the Super Bowl. On the other side, we have Cam Newton, who is this energetic young quarterback.
Powerful quarterback.
He's the same size as some of the defensive players, the defensive ends and linebackers. He's about 6'5", almost 240 pounds. So people who know that in meters, he's almost 2 meters tall. And he plays the quarterback position in this exuberant way. He runs for touchdowns. He throws long passes. And he loves to celebrate. And his exuberant celebrations, his go-to move is this dance move called the dab. His exuberant celebrations have rubbed some people the wrong way. So it'll be interesting to see what he does if and when he scores a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Dan, speaking of celebrations, the Super Bowl in recent years always kind of celebrates the game with a big halftime show. Who are the musical performers for this Super Bowl?
So everybody watches the Super Bowl for different reasons. They watch for the game, what happens on the field. They watch for the commercials during the timeouts, and they watch for the halftime show. You know, famous performers like Michael Jackson have been in the halftime show before. This year, it's the British band Coldplay. They're the headliners. And they'll be joined by everybody's favorite singer, Beyonce. So it should be an exciting show.
That should be a great show. Now, in terms of the Super Bowl itself, Dan, and in particular, the overseas viewers outside the United States, are they tuning in more for the spectacle of the game, surrounding the game, or for the game itself?
Well, it's an interesting question. There are 30-plus teams, right? The NFL whittles it down to two teams in the end, so people watch the game not necessarily to see their favorite team playing, and they have to find a way to get into the spectacle beyond just what's happening on the field, whether the team has a third and long and they complete a pass that gets them a first down. So I think it's about a 50-50 mix between people who watch the game, who are dedicated football fans, and people who watch the game like it's just a big party.
Some of those fans will be tuning in to watch those commercials that you mentioned. What does a typical commercial during the Super Bowl for the advertiser, what do they have to pay the National Football League to air their commercial?
So they actually don't have to pay the National Football League, right? They have to pay the company that's broadcasting the game.
Okay.
The company that's broadcasting the game pays the league for the chance to broadcast the game. The Super Bowl gets over 100 million viewers in the United States each year. The price for 30 seconds of airtime is around $5 million.
Wow.
And it's worth it because so many eyeballs are glued to the screen. Some of the big advertisers in history have been Budweiser and a lot of the car companies. Some of the internet companies in the first part of the 2000s during the dot-com boom spent a lot of money to get ads on the Super Bowl, and then the companies failed within about a year. So that's always kind of funny.
All right, Dan, I'm going to ask you to stick your neck out a bit. Who do you like on Sunday, the Panthers or the Broncos?
So first off, I want to remind all of our listeners to check out some of the articles that will be going up this weekend at learningenglish.voanews.com. That's the Learning English website here at Voice of America. If you're a Facebook fan, you can find us by typing in VOA Learning English and looking for us on Facebook. So my pick is the Carolina Panthers. I think that the team is just too strong overall for Denver. Denver has some strong points, but Carolina is balanced on offense and defense. So I'm looking for the Panthers to win something like 27-14.
Thank you, Dan. Dan Friedel, who is covering the Super Bowl for Voice of America's Learning English. Thanks for joining us, Dan.
It was great to be here, Sonny. Thanks for having me.
Now let's go to the United Arab Emirates in the Middle East, where South African star Ernie Els has moved to the top of the leaderboard at the Omega Dubai Desert Classic Golf Tournament. The 46-year-old Els is a three-time champion in Dubai. He shot a 67 Friday and now has a total of 9 under par, 135 through two rounds. Reporter Nick Dye caught up with Ernie Els and asked him about his performance.
Yeah, it's quite nice. Yeah, surprising a little bit. You know, perfect conditions this morning. A couple of better flag positions, you know, a little tougher to get to the holes, but very pleased with that. You know, it probably won't hold up, but I'll be in the mix and thereabouts, so that's all I can ask for.
The course different of a morning as it is to the afternoon?
It's a little different. You know, the ball doesn't travel as far in the morning, but you're putting on absolutely perfect putting surfaces. And, you know, as I just said to Wayne, you know, I didn't play that well on the front nine, tee to green, but I made a lot of putts to save pars, and, you know, obviously made an eagle on 18. And then played a little bit better on the back, but, you know, the front nine, as was my back nine, was a bit of a tougher nine. But I'm pleased with the way I played.
And that eagle is tasty compared to the bogey of day one. How's your ribs? How's the back? How's the result of that?
No, it's better. You know, it's getting better each day. You know, I can still feel it, but it's a lot better. And, you know, we'll keep working on it, and you know, I can't use it as an excuse anymore. You know, it feels a lot better, and you know, I'm looking forward to the weekend. You know, whatever happens, but I'm playing pretty good.
Well, you've been slaving away, working hard for a considerable time, so yeah. I don't know if this is overdue or whether it's come as soon as you'd expected or what.
No, I mean, I've definitely after the first week of the year. I mean, that was probably, you know, hopefully the low point of the year, because, you know, from 18 inches I was dodgy, you know, and to make the changes that I have made, you know, drastic changes in the putting setup, the grip, and so forth, and now feeling very comfortable and confident is an about turn, isn't it? You know, because I was really nowhere, and now I feel like I've got some game. So really pleased with all the work, as you say, we've put in on and off the golf course, and you know, that's what you need to do sometimes. You know, get your feet under you, and get ready for the rest of the year.
Last time you felt this good?
Yeah, it's been a while, eh? I mean, and I won the in Munich, you know, the BMW, that's a couple of years ago, and even, you know, the US Open back in that year. But the last year, I haven't felt like this. So this is, it's like I say, it's an about turn for me from where I was, and it's a nice feeling to have.
That's South African golf star Ernie Els feeling pretty good about his performance so far at the Omega Dubai Desert Classic Tournament. And Ernie was talking Friday with reporter Nick Dye in Dubai. Just ahead on the sunny side of sports, my VOA colleague James Buddy will have a Black History Month segment on a basketball Hall of Famer and a baseball great.
Get up, stand up.
It's time now for our Black History Month facts for today, February 5th. On this day, 1934, Henry Louis Hank Aaron was born in Mobile, Alabama. He became baseball's all-time home run hitter. Aaron entered the record books on April 8, 1974, when he broke Babe Ruth's record of 714 home run hits. He went on to hit a total of 755 home runs before completing his 23-year major league career. On this day in 1972, Robert Bob Douglas became the first African-American to be inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. Douglas was the founder of the New York Renaissance basketball team. Nicknamed the father of black professional basketball, Douglas owned and coached the Rens from 1923 to 1949.
So now we see the light. What you gonna we gonna stand up for, all right? Yeah, yeah, so you better get up.
Don't give up the fight. Speaking of which, our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moweta, says the boxing world is in shock over the May 7th fight between Saul Canelo Alvarez and Amir Khan. I'll talk with Namdi about this fight next week, but for now, a few details. Canelo will be defending his World Boxing Council middleweight title. The bout will take place at T-Mobile Arena, a multi-purpose facility under construction on the Las Vegas Strip in the western U.S. state of Nevada. I think some of that shock that Namdi talks about is why is Khan taking on a bigger opponent in Canelo? Canelo seems like he could put a pounding on Amir Khan. And I don't know if Namdi's going to put me on the make me stick my neck out, but I got to go with Canelo. That's my early prognosis. Canelo over Khan. I think Canelo is too strong for Amir Khan. Now, Canelo versus Khan, it takes place about a month after Manny Pacquiao fights Timothy Bradley for a third time. The 37-year-old Pacquiao says this will be his final fight, and then he'll hang up the gloves for good. Magnus Chisholm Onwuadiwe, the humble apostle of the sunny side of sports, sent me a Facebook message from Owerri, Nigeria, and the humble apostle writes, "Sporty greetings from Owerri, Sonny, in Imo State, the eastern heartland of Nigeria. Sonny, for some time now, I've kept bottled up my rushy and punchy feelings, especially as they relate to Manny versus Bradley 3. I have a feeling that the Pac-Man wants to rekindle and stir old curious memories," writes the humble apostle. And then Magnus continues, "I think Manny wants to get at Floyd Mayweather for a rematch through this Bradley fight, but something tells me, Sonny, that Manny has a bad and dangerous customer in Timothy Bradley. Finally, Magnus says Pac-Man is going to need to work extremely hard to beat Bradley, or else I see Manny suffering another heavy loss from a younger, more ambitious, and more ravenous fighter. Thanks for writing, humble apostle. In fact, our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta, is predicting Bradley will upset Pacquiao on April 9th at the MGM Grand Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Saudi Arabian female athletes say sports are on the front line of breaking traditions that squash women's voices. In their hometown of Jeddah, one group of basketball players says by connecting sports to health issues, they're encouraging women and girls to get out of their homes and participate in public life. VOA's Heather Murdoch reports from Jeddah.
One of the richest countries in the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, is in many ways as modern as any place on earth in terms of infrastructure and conveniences. But activists say the kingdom has a long way to go in terms of women's rights. In the coastal city Jeddah, activists say by encouraging women and girls to play basketball and other sports, they promote health and chip away at the image of Saudi women as virtually silent members of their society. Wearing white uniforms with long pants and Islamic headscarves, the Jeddah United women's team plays an exhibition game in Malaysia. Officials say by playing internationally, Saudi women broaden their own horizons, as well as those of the nations they visit. This is Lina Al-Maina, who heads the Jeddah United Sports Company.
We played in the United States, in Malaysia, in Jordan, and the UAE, as well as Riyadh and other cities in Saudi Arabia. So we do that locally to promote sports and internationally to also try to change stereotypes and show a different segment in Saudi Arabia.
At a charity event in Jeddah promoting sports for handicapped boys and girls, female basketball players say women's sports are increasingly popular at home, and there is a wait list to get on their team. Player Noor Gary says defying stereotypes in Saudi Arabia requires pushing boundaries without breaking them. Men do not attend games, and players only allow cameras in when they are fully covered. But she says many people do not approve.
And it's not even against the law or against the religion. It's just people having their own beliefs and trying to close it on other people. So yeah, being open towards sports means that they have more flexibility towards other things.
Players say women's rights in Saudi Arabia have come far in recent years, but many basic freedoms, like the right to drive cars, remain elusive. Last year, women in Saudi Arabia voted for the first time, and 20 women were voted into local office. Like politicians, female athletes say they believe women's sports will eventually be accepted more publicly. This is Jeddah United coach Deborah Parkwood.
We have some great athletes here in Saudi Arabia. Some of the girls that really, they want to play harder, they want to train harder, and they would love to compete for their country internationally.
In the meantime, players say promoting women's sports locally is having an immediate impact on society, showing women the benefits of exercise for themselves and for their children. Heather Murdoch, VOA News, Jeddah, Saudi Arabia.
Thanks, Heather. And for those female basketball players in Jeddah, you go, girls, nothing but net.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
Hi, this is Alex Young, and you're listening to my dad on the Sunny Side of Sports.
In African football, the Eagles of Mali will meet the Leopards of the Democratic Republic of Congo on Sunday in the final of the fourth African Nations Championship in Kigali, Rwanda. Our VOA football fans will remember this tournament, also called CHAN, is for home-based players in Africa. Both teams, Mali and the DRC, advanced to the final after very competitive semifinal matches in Kigali. Mali edged Ivory Coast 1-0 on a goal by Yves Bissouma in the 89th minute. And the Leopards of DR Congo edged Guinea 5-4 on penalty kicks in Kigali. So great semifinal matches, and it sets up a possible great final. I talked with my friend Austin Okon Akpan in Channels Television in Nigeria on Thursday night. Told Austin, I'm going to go with the Leopards of the DRC to win on Sunday in Kigali, Rwanda. From Rwanda, let's go south to Zimbabwe, where football fans can be seen wearing the jerseys of their favorite clubs. And as Michael Cariati reports from Harare, most of these fans are showing their support for top European clubs.
Walking down the streets anywhere in Zimbabwe, one is bound to come across Manchester United, Arsenal, Barcelona, Real Madrid, Chelsea, and Liverpool replica jerseys, too many to count. Here and there, far and in between, that is when one comes across a Dynamos, Highlanders, or a Caps United jersey being put on. This is just the opposite of neighboring South Africa, where replica jerseys of Mamelodi Sundowns, Kaizer Chiefs, and Orlando Pirates are worn everywhere. Although there are others who put on replica jerseys of foreign teams, most of them are foreign nationals who live and work in that country. Football analyst Wallace Mawire says Zimbabwean football has lost its respect to the extent that local football followers have found solace in foreign clubs where they are guaranteed satisfaction.
The supporters are now looking to outside sporting teams where they get satisfaction from. The local teams, I think they've been demoralized by the performance.
Caps United follower Patrick Mombeshora adds his voice to the debate, saying Zimbabwean football standards have sunk so low to the extent that not many still want to be associated with the local game.
Our standard of football is very low, so people are excited by those international foreign teams.
Another football fan, Ephraim Gwababa, said he was saddened by Manchester United's 1-0 defeat to Southampton. Ironically, on the same day, the Warriors had lost 1-0 to Mali and eliminated from the CHAN finals. However, former Caps United defender Kudzanai Mkucha, who now coaches Zifa Northern Region Division 2 outfit Dilo Aces, strongly believes that Zimbabwean domestic football is still among the best on the continent. Mkucha says Zimbabweans in general have a big problem.
Okay, Zimbabweans have a problem. They don't respect themselves, one. They are excited by foreign things. If we are not good enough, why are South African clubs buying our players? You see, why did we qualify for CHAN if we don't have good players in Zimbabwe?
The former Cup Kings defender says it is not surprising that Zimbabweans have their own favorite foreign teams, arguing that in Europe, you get some people who follow and support Zimbabwean clubs.
I can say everyone is allowed to support whatever club you want. So some people have got their foreign clubs that they want outside. So we can even have people in Europe now who support Dynamos, who support Highlanders, who support Chicken Inn. So it's normal to support football players around the world.
Mombeshora also added that jerseys for local clubs are not found in shops, as the shop owners believe there is no market for them.
They are not available in the shops. Actually, there are few. You can only find a few jerseys for just big teams, Caps United and Highlanders and Dynamos.
However, Zimbabwe Football Association Chief Executive Officer Jonathan Mashingaidze claims Warriors jerseys are there in abundance, contending that they have an agreement with their kit sponsors to provide replica jerseys for sale to the public. Of late, a large number of local football fans have also been watching mostly European football on television, abandoning watching Kasolaga Premier Soccer League or Warriors matches. Mawire says he has observed that people have resorted to watching television soccer instead of PSL soccer matches in order to save money.
People, they either tend to watch on television rather than wasting their money going to pay where they know that the results of the outcome will be disappointing to them.
Former Premier Soccer League Chief Executive Officer Chris Sambo suggests that the Premier Soccer League should come up with ideas to make the game more attractive and bring back the fans who have deserted the stadium. Edward Tebo, who won the league title with Motor Action in 2010 and is now on the books of Harare City, adds his voice to the debate, saying the game in Zimbabwe is as good as any in Africa, but points out that there is need for more knockout tournaments to retain the interest of all.
Football in this country is as good as any in Africa countries. The only problem is that there are less tournaments and less sponsorship in this country. This has made it less exciting.
However, another of the football followers, Kingston Marange, is of the opinion that most people have lost interest in local football due to the betting syndrome that has gripped the country.
This has been driven by the coming in of soccer betting. People now spend most of their time doing soccer betting, so that's why they're putting foreign jerseys.
He says in Zimbabwe, football betting has become a source of employment, as most people have lost their jobs and are unemployed. However, the truth is that there is betting in other countries, but they still take their time to support their own clubs. Reporting in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right, give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively sunny man on the sunny side of sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoje here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brilafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
And that wraps up another expanded edition of the sunny side of sports. Thanks to Voice of America engineer Mr. Chang. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.